nothing to prove. You got a fast car, and I got a plan to get inside of here. Been working at the convenience store, managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far, just across the border and into the city. And you and I can both get jobs, finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Here with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. Is too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school, and that's what I did.
You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Tonight I'll even die this way.
So I remember when we were driving in your car.
9:36, you're listening to 100.5 FM. It is a glorious day God has given us. I hope you go out and do something great today. Don't waste it, because you never know when he calls you home, and then, well, that's the end of it. So don't waste your day. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at StovesOfMaine.com. Our poll question today is, and it's sponsored by Athena's Cantina. They have Taco Tuesday night tonight. They have margaritas. Vern was up there the other day. He talked about it yesterday. Great tacos, great burritos, great enchiladas, great margaritas, and karaoke. So you can do that tonight at Athena's Cantina in Freeport. Poll question is, Governor Mills, Maine Governor Mills, wants to tax prescription drugs at 70 cents per prescription to balance a state budget. Do you support this? Possible answers are yes, no, don't care, or doesn't affect me. The last one, don't care or don't understand, because I do care, and it does affect you whether you take prescription drugs or not, because it's just out of control spending. But anyhow, we'd just love to know what you think. Dan and Shay are here. No, excuse me. Dan and Fred are here. Just kidding. Dan and Fred are here. They were Matt Jacobson, of course, Dee Richardson. They are business owners with Route 22 Service Center over next to Haven's Candies in Westbrook. And then you have Frank's, and you have Lifetime Service Center up in Gray. And you guys also were wonderful sponsors of our inaugural trip, which we are tremendously appreciative of. Thank you.
We're very proud to sponsor you to go down there.
Good. Really great to see you guys, meet you face-to-face, and say hello. And yep. And we have a mutual friend in David Jones who connected us, which we're grateful for that as well. David just left. He heard you were coming, so he got out.
That's right. Yeah. I already took David's money this week from his tires.
So. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well done. Anytime somebody can take David's money, we're happy about that. That's we right. are. He's got a lot of it, and so he should spread it, right?
That's right.
Why not? Why not? So tell us about you guys, your business partnership, and your service centers, and then let's get into some of the business of all of that.
All right, so 93 County Road, which is Route 22 service, that was the original shop that started back in 2008. We've grown from that point. 2013, we expanded to a second shop in Gray, and then in 2019, expanded to the third shop. I do the shop in Westbrook, which is right next door to Haven's Candy. Fred does the two shops up in Gray, Frank's Garage and Lifetime Service Center. So we're all three shops are full service auto repair. We do computer diagnostics. And I think we pride ourselves a lot on every car that comes through the door, it gets a health check. And at that point, we can...
You're like the car doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a car doctor.
There we go.
So we make a determination. Is it, you know, we have situations where the car is just not worth repair. And we don't want to take a customer's money if that's, you know, We don't want to be asked down the road why, if I had known this was going on, I wouldn't have spent this. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to just throw money into a, something that's not going to last.
Exactly, especially where we live right here in the Rust Belt, they call it.
Yeah.
With the salt.
Right,
in.
Of course.
Yeah.
You started, which one did you start in 2019?
We started Lifetime Service Center. That was our third job.
So were you guys impacted by COVID? You started in 19. COVID comes in 20. We know the wreckage that the governor, and I don't want to make this political, but the governor did on the state of Maine. Did that really harm you or did it bother you?
I think it was definitely a challenge to get started because, again, you can basically bring people in. But it was a great opportunity for us, too. We knew that the shop was, you know, in dire straits and needed some help, and we were the type of guys that could come along and turn it around. And we actually started in 2008, and if you go back to 2008, that wasn't the best economic times either.
No, that's
true. And I told Dan, and we looked at ourselves and said, you know what, if we can make it through 2008, we can make it through anything. So, yeah. And that's what we've done ever since.
Yeah, that was a very difficult time. We all remember that, the Great Recession that went on. It was very difficult. There's
cash
no doubt about
clunkers.
It.
That was
cash for clunkers. Wow. Forgot about that,
we'll
but that's right.
A little bit.
Yeah, well.
That impacted all the repair shops.
Yeah, because they would just pour crap down the engine to kill the engine because Barack Obama didn't like gas cars.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rigid ideologist, but we don't want to go there. I don't want to make your segment political. Matt Jacobson was talking earlier, used to be with Maine & Company way back and trying to attract industry to the state of Maine, educated workforce. You guys, you know, you just said it, you're car doctors, which means you have to be able to diagnose. How hard is it to get people to come in and work and find reliable people in your industry?
I think we find a few once in a while, but definitely not what we could probably go back and say 20 years ago what we could find. So I think the big difference is today is, you know, we just don't get as many young kids going to colleges and thinking that maybe automotive is a great opportunity for them to make money. But if you go to a lot of guys that do automotive for a living, it's tough. But they also realize they can make a good living like any other trade, too. So,
yeah, it's just it's interesting that that workforce pipeline is something we don't think about as often as we might. And I noticed, you know, you go into shops and you don't see a lot of kids, you know, which is in one way really good because some seasoned mechanics. But by the same token, you don't see, you know, it's hard to maintain that. Right. These guys age out.
So at our Westbrook location now, we have three kids.
Cool.
They're very young. One just actually started yesterday. He's going to SMCC.
Hmm.
But we also have three seasoned techs. So it's a great environment for the younger ones. And I'll tell them, you know, pay attention to what these veteran technicians are doing and learn from it because that's going to be you guys.
Right. And if you can get the guys to take advantage of that, that's the key, right? It's just hard to find, I think.
That's how I came up through.
Right.
Well, that was the intended path, is that the older generation showed the younger generation the way forward. Exactly. They've been there. They've done it. So you learn from their expertise and their experience.
Exactly.
I mean, it's how we used to do lawyers back in the day before we had expensive law schools. People would go in and be an apprentice to an accomplished lawyer. Thomas Jefferson's a good example of that. And he became a brilliant lawyer, a brilliant legal mind. And I don't know how much he actually practiced himself, but he was a brilliant legal mind because he studied under someone who was a brilliant legal mind.
I'm curious, do you recruit? Do you go to schools and trade schools, or do you just are you able to find people without having to do that?
I think a lot of the dealerships actually end up with a lot of the younger kids, which is a great opportunity for them. But for aftermarket shops like us, it makes a little bit more of a challenge. We definitely have to spend a little bit more time trying to find somebody, and by word of mouth or whatever. I actually, my first young student basically came to me at 13, and unfortunately at 13, I loved his enthusiasm, but I couldn't hire him at 13. Right. And for 2 years, he came to me and basically begged for me to basically put him on the payroll. And finally at 15, I basically said, I think my insurance company will be okay with this. And I basically brought him in, but he's a very good young man, very knowledgeable young man. And hopefully the loyalty that will dissolve between us, you know what I mean, will basically work out in the long run and try to basically give him an opportunity to learn from all the other guys and basically grow in his profession. So,
how long has he been with you?
He's been with me for over 2 years now. He's still in high school.
Wow.
But that's a challenge that we face nowadays. We've got to try to build our own as aftermarket automobile, you know, manufacturers. We don't have the bigger bucks like the dealerships do, and dealerships kind of, I think, in some cases get the SMCC students and the CMC students, which they should because they've got more opportunity. But, you know, there are a lot of little guys like us out there that can give you know, young men and women a great opportunity as well if they give us a chance.
I know there's a lot of, and I want to make this political, but just from a statement standpoint, there's a lot of wrangling over right to repair, but how has that impacted you guys?
That's good that they passed that.
Right.
Now to get it implemented, that's the next, because, you know, the manufacturers are going to fight tooth and nail every step of the way. And
what do you think that will do for you all if we ever get this implemented? And I know it's been fought over a lot.
What I tell my customers is my techs in my shop, my location, and Fred has, we have them in each location. They can fix anything on the road, given that they have the service information to do it. If you don't have the information to go in and diagnose a problem, you're in the dark. And in turn, that just turns into more time and money for the customer. And again, we're trying to look out for the customer's best interest here. But as that information is made available to us, then again, that helps. You got to have that service information.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no, and Roe sponsors our studio, and they have a big repair shop, so I'm sure they're loving this part of the conversation. But, you know, but at the end of the day, the point is well made, is that, you know, if you're trying to diagnose something, I mean, it'd be like going to a doctor and you got a medical chart from another doctor, but you don't allow the prior chart to be seen. He has to start from scratch because he can't figure out what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've kept my mouth shut on this one pretty much, but, you know, I certainly understand the merits of it. How's that? Is that fair?
That's fair.
I certainly understand the merits of it. Yeah, I got to take care of those who take care of me. Now, my feeling on it was very simple, is that it's a parochial issue for the manufacturers, and I get that. But at the end of the day, if we didn't have guys like you guys, you know, I mean, I've got a buddy in Westbrook, Ryan, you might know him, used to be over at Bernie's Auto and does a great job. He needs to have information. You know, we need guys like you guys because, you know, it's like for a dentist or a lawyer or anybody else or a plumber or an electrician, it's hard to get an appointment. And so we need more people working.
There are a lot of cars on the road, so.
There are a lot of cars on the road.
And they're getting older. That's the other problem. Yep. The average age of cars is going up because new ones are so expensive. So, you know, your profession is so important and becoming more important because you got to maintain those cars.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Anytime it's been slow, we've never really had a humongous slowdown, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, we go through our ups and downs and valleys, but for the most part, there's enough cars on the road that we all get our fair share, so.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's the point. There's enough business for everybody because there's so many vehicles here. Mainers have the longest average commute to work of any people in the country, 37 minutes, I think it is. So,
is it miles or time?
I think it's 37 minutes. I could be wrong. I mean,
I know in L.A., you get 37 minutes and get you to the next exit.
Well, it might be, it could be miles, but 37 minutes has always stuck out. But it could be miles.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's miles. But whatever.
In 37 minutes, a Mainer will go about 60 miles.
Yeah. My favorite Maine mechanic story, I have an old sailboat, and I had an engine problem, and I didn't want to spend any more money. And so I asked the guy, I said, well, what do you think? And I have it over at Yankee Marina, which is in Yarmouth. And he says, well, might make it to the end of the river, might make it to the end of the summer. I just don't know. which to me is just such a perfect.
You know, you did it. That was a good job.
Was it good?
You could have been on Murder, She Wrote, where they really had bad accents.
Yeah, I've been here long enough to at least fake it. But but that's I love mechanics when they talk like that.
We just don't have that crystal ball.
That was such a perfect way to put it. It's like, you know what? Pay the money, it takes your chances, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, particularly with Maine roads, you know, with the way Maine roads beat up cars, there's no way you could have a crystal ball.
This is going to be a bad spring.
You think? Yeah. How much snow?
We'll have a lot of chassis front-end work coming in to the shop. Broken.
Oh, yeah.
Potholes.
We've already started to see some of that.
Well, frost heaves and this and that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say it. I have a cute little Ford Edge. I got it from Roe, obviously. We love that car. It's, it's perfect for us because our kids are all grown now. And it's a 2024, and I can start to feel a little bit because we just don't take care of stuff in Maine. The government, whatever it's supposed to take care of, whether it's kids or roads, they don't do it.
And it's crazy on how rough the roads can basically be sometimes.
Yeah, and when we went out to D.C., it was a lot different. The roads were a lot better. When we were out in Milwaukee, which is a very cold place, I keep it on my app to see how cold it. The roads were a lot better. In Indiana, where it gets frigid sometimes, the roads were smooth as a baby's butt. So we could do it, but because cars get beat up, there's no way you can predict their future.
It's amazing how much we basically put off. I can basically look at a stretch of road and we'll do a 3-mile stretch, but the next 2 miles is really horrible, but right. somehow that takes another 3 years to get authorized.
Well, my favorite is Route 88. It goes through Falmouth, Cumberland, and Yarmouth, and each one has 2 or 3 or 4 miles. And they pave it at different times. So you'll go through a really good stretch, and you go through, like, off-road, and then kind of okay. You know, it's like, why couldn't we all decide, and we'll just rent the grader and do the whole road at the same time? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's all crazy.
I don't know.
Fred and Dan are here. They're with Route 22 Service Center. That's on what we would call County Road.
County Road.
In Westbrook. And then you have Frank's, and you have Lifetime Service Center up in Gray.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job. I love what I do and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are fantastic. And